Good morning, church. It's once again my privilege to bring the message this morning. And this morning's message is titled, Making Wise Choices. And the background scripture will be Genesis, the second chapter, verses 15 to 23. As this inspirational quote says, the key to accept the responsibility for your life is to accept the fact that your choices, every one of them, are leading you inexorably to either success or failure, however you define those terms. Making unwise choices. You can look at making wise choices can be very difficult task to do, especially when we're uncertain about the choices or the outcome. Conversely, making unwise choices can be a very easy task, especially if we're willing to settle for the easy choices or the easily gained outcomes. A lot of people, many people, choose not to choose because they're not certain of whether or not the outcome will be good or bad, or whether they'll make good decisions or unwise decisions. However, we all need to know that to not choose is to choose. For when we do not choose, we're allowing others or circumstances to choose for us. In other words, we allow our lives to be dictated by others or circumstances rather than making a choice ourselves. This brings us to looking at our lives as we look back over our lives and remembering a lot of the good and bad choices, the wise and unwise choices that we made. I'm sure if you could just hold it right there, I just want to elaborate upon that last statement, that I'm sure all of you who are listening to this message can also recall some of the wise or unwise decisions that you made in your life. They were either bad or good. A lot of times we made those decisions or choices because we lacked the knowledge or understanding, or many of us knew the knowledge and understanding that we had received from someone else, such as our parents, but failed to hear that. And as a result, we ended up in a very bad situation. I think often of the prodigal son who ended up not heeding the advice of his father and ended up in a very bad situation. But if you remember that story, he had a good outcome, even though initially his decision was unwise. But his wise decision came when he came to himself and said, I need to go back to my father. And as a result, the situation turned out to be okay. You know, many of us need to have look back upon decisions in a retrospective manner. And we can see that we might not have made that decision we made, or what about a better decision, or if we had made that decision, our lives would be in a better way. Today, I want to bring it into a modern context for us today and not just look at looking back, but let's look at today and the situations that are happening today. One of the things that's happening today is, before we go into our scripture, is the fact that many of us know and are aware of the situation with the children that are coming from many Latin American countries, and they're arriving at the border, and they're being taken and put in housing conditions and living conditions that are very, very what we call inhumane or less than ideal. But we wonder, how can a parent send their child knowing that that's going to happen? What would drive a parent to make that kind of decision? Well, you know, you might have to look at that parent and say, why would they? Well, considering the conditions they may be in, and the children living with, they're living in a very dangerous, violent environment where they could be killed because of the drug situation, or they could starve to death, or the hope and opportunities don't look that good. You as one of those parents might say, yes, it's going to be very difficult for them to make it to United States and even cross the border, but even getting into the border and being held in those conditions are going to be better than the future that they might otherwise have here with us. Thus, they make that sacrifice and say, yes, I'm going to endure the pain of separation. I'm going to endure that hard choice of pivoting my children and sending them into a situation where I don't know what the outcome's going to be, but I certainly believe is better than what they would suffer if they continue to reside here with us. So we see when decisions are made, and especially when we don't know all the circumstances, we can look at them and say they made unwise choices. This morning, we want to look back and retrospect to one of the situations that we often refer to in the Bible about Adam and Eve in the garden. We're going to look at Genesis 2, verses 15 to 23. Then the Lord God took man and put him in the Garden of Eden to tend and keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden you may freely eat, but of the tree of knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat. For in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die. And the Lord God said, it is not good that a man should be alone. I will make him a helper comparable to him. On the ground, the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every bird of the air and brought them to Adam to see what he would call them. And whatever Adam called each living creature, that was its name. So Adam gave names to all the cattle, to the birds of the air, and to every beast of the field. For Adam, there was no one found. There was not a helper found comparable to him. And the Lord God called the deep sleep to fall on Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh in its place. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from him, man, he made him into a woman. And he brought her to the man. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bone, and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. In this passage of scripture. We find that God has a plan in mind. The plan is simply this. God creates a garden. He creates a wonderful garden with living plants and animals and everything that a man could want, everything that he needed, the health, water, and the fruit, and everything he needed to nourish himself and keep himself content. He gave man an earthly paradise. And the only thing the man had to do in this paradise was to have, be a good steward over the garden. And being a good steward simply meant all he had to do was name the animals. That's all he had to do. That was the only thing God wanted him to do. And planted the garden, gave all the fruit except that one tree, and just as many as I was. That was an easy job. He had a kickback job just going around naming animals. Because his every need was met. What a paradise. And on top of it, God had set it up so man could commune with him. Man could constantly have a fellowship with God in this garden. What a privilege and an opportunity. What a blessing this was for man at this opportune time. God's plan was to create a garden, a perfect garden, put man in it, allow man to tend it, to have stewardship over it, and to allow man to have fellowship with him. And also one thing God decided to do was to give man free will, the ability to make choices in the garden. He simply told man, you can do anything you want in the garden except eat the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. He says, for in the day you eat the herb, you shall surely die. He doesn't put a fence around that tree. He doesn't put any kind of barricade around it. He simply says, do not eat. It's up for you to make the choice. But God told him that the consequences of the choice would be if he failed to do what God had told him. What an interesting dilemma God had put man in. We, looking back from our perspective and having now looked at the story and put in the hindsight, looked at it and said, why did Adam not follow the wisdom that God had told? Why didn't God ever use his wisdom and not eat a fruit? Or why would God allow that situation to occur for Adam to be disobedient to him? You see, God is not a God who does anything but decides that I'm a give you the best. I'm going to give you the best. I'm going to allow you to make the choice of whether or not you will allow me to give you the best, or will you make that decision to say, God, you are not giving me the best, and I want to choose something else? Well, I think we all know the story, or many of us may know, that while in that garden, when God went around and they had to be on their own and they were allowed to make their own decisions, Satan came around and Satan came and to Eve, and he told Eve there was something more than God was telling them about that fruit on that tree. It was something more. God was lying. He said, you will not die. And he said, look how good that fruit looks. Look, it must, you know, don't believe God. You have free will. And Eve ate of that fruit. And Adam, even though he knew God had already told him, don't eat the fruit, and that him he had given Eve to be a helpmate. She was his helpmate. And the real decision making lie in his hands. He listened to the woman and takes her that fruit. Oh, what a mistake they made. They made a very unwise decision. We all know they did, but what would we have done in that same situation? You can tell we probably would have done the same thing, because if we look at our lives and look at our own mistakes that we've made, the unwise decisions we have made in our life, here on this earth. So you see, making unwise decisions, you might say, is a part of who we are, is a part of our nature. And as a result of making unwise decisions, we have to look at consequences of making unwise decisions. In this case, Adam and Eve, the fellowship with God was broken. I give it. There was a time at the very beginning of creation when Adam and Eve had communication with God, had fellowship with God. He walked with them. He talked with them. He didn't have to. I mean, he just literally came down and walked on the earth and went throughout the earth, and he would just have communion with God, God and man. Broken fellowship. And to make sure they could no longer fall, God said, putting you on my presence. I'm going to take that spiritual place, that earthly kingdom that I've created, and I'm kicking you out. So Adam and Eve loses the privilege of being in an earthly kingdom where God's presence is there. And not only is it that they lose God's presence, but they lose the home that's Adam and that's Eden, the Garden of Eden. And you know, I told you about that Garden of Eden. It's where they didn't have to make any effort to eat. They simply went around and picked up everything they wanted to eat. It was there in abundance. All the needs was met. They're not to worry about probably nothing. And they lose that Garden of Eden. God takes them out and shuts the door and says, you know what? I gotta let you understand what the cost was of making that unwise decision. Says, not only are you gonna get kicked out of the garden, but You're gonna now have to grow your own food. You're gonna have to sit till that soil. And when you till that soil, it's not gonna be like it was in Eden, where it would just flourish and just be in abundance. But you're gonna have to till that ground and put some effort to grow those crops in order to feed yourself and to feed Eve and to feed your family. And he tells Eve, you know what? You were man's helpmate, but now I'm going to change your position. You shall now be under the man. And you also should have some physical pain, some physical labor. That physical labor will be when you have children. You see, now, because of unwise decision, the consequences of leaving that garden very serious, very significant. And having leaving God's presence, guess what? Instead of having eternal life with no illness and no pain, once we get out in the world beyond the garden, there's death and illness and suffering. You know, the ability and the right shoes is something here in the United States and around the world people take for granted. We think that because of who we are and the knowledge and technology, we will always make the best and wise decisions. And we look at people in other parts of the world that make decisions, they won't make best decision because they don't have our technology, our insight, our capability, our intellect. But see, I want to let us look at it from a different perspective about making wise choices. Well, this COVID pandemic has ravaged this country and the rest of the world. And the very nature of this disease has confronted our beliefs and our rights and our choices. But first of all, the belief is whether or not COVID is real or not. Is it real or is it a hoax? The fact that we look at COVID and we have to look at the fact do we test or not test? Do we wear masks or not masks? Do we social distance, not social distance? Do we isolate and quarantine? Do we have these various treatments? Do we go through them? Do we close schools, not close schools? Do we shut down jobs and shut down businesses so that people lose their income? Do we shut down situations with housing and people have to lose their housing? And how do we deal with the deaths of 540,000 deaths that occurred where the mortuary is no longer capacity and people are no longer able to come and say goodbye to their loved ones, and which the funerals were in a services that we normally had couldn't have them. And now we're at the point where we're dealing with vaccinations. We have to make choices about the vaccination. And believe it or not, there's quite a few people in this country, Dr. Wells says, I'm not going to get the vaccination. Either because I don't believe the COVID is real, or I don't trust that vaccination. I believe it's a something that's going to kill me or hurt me. Well, let me tell you and challenge you. Just like Adam and Eve in the garden. When God told them, don't eat of the fruit, but you can have all the rest of the stuff is good. He said that the garden had good stuff in it. It also had one bad thing in it. And now, I look at the world today, and I'm flabbergasted because now people are looking at the world and thinking everything's bad, and there's nothing good. And therefore, they're not trusting getting vaccination, they're not trusting getting social distancing because they're listening to the wrong information. And they're not using wisdom. I can remember a time when getting a vaccination, there was no hesitancy because people had been through the diseases and stuff, and they were very aware that not getting a vaccination meant death, meant a lot of illness, and there was a lot of long-term health consequences, so people got vaccinations. Now today, the idea of making wise choices, I no longer am sure about people. But if we look at the Bible, and as Timmy says, listen to scriptures like Psalm 91. We who are God's people will get the wisdom, understanding that God wants to have confidence that God has provided the cure, that God has provided what we need to live a healthy and productive life. So I'm just challenging you this morning. Let's try to use a little wisdom and make wise rather than unwise decisions. May God bless you this morning. May you meditate upon the thought of making wise and unwise decisions and choices in this year of 2021, and it's March the 21st. God bless you.